Hi, this is Kenny Albert. You're listening to the Broadway Hat Podcast with your host, Kyle Hall, the number one podcast for all things Rangers hockey.
Welcome back to the Broadway Hat Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Hall, and Patrick Kane is a New York Ranger. Last Wednesday, the worst-kept secret in hockey finally came to fruition. Patrick Kane was traded to the New York Rangers. Just unbelievable to have him in New York, obviously, after the Tarasenko trade. You thought that was dead, a rumor that's been around for almost 2 years now with Kane, you know, having interest in New York and the Rangers having interest in Kane. And, they finally got a deal done, which is unreal. The Rangers made, I can't imagine, you know, so many sacrifices to get him playing shorthanded. They're still playing shorthanded because of it. And the injuries and the suspension to Keandre Miller and everything else that's going on. But to get a player of his caliber, it's completely worth it for this playoff run. And Patrick Kane, you know, that story came out, I think Emily Kaplan from ESPN came out and said the Blackhawks basically said they didn't want him at the end of the season, so kind of forced his hand to leave. And New York was the one team he wanted to go to, and he used that no-trade clause like you see the NBA players use the trade clause, basically saying where he wanted to go, and the Blackhawks made it work for him. So to bring a guy in that, especially for the playoffs, you know, a guy who's had 3 Stanley Cups, Conn Smythe winner, you know, some consider him the greatest USA hockey player forward of all time. I'm a huge fan of his for a long time. I've obviously covered him with USA Hockey. You know, I cover them for USA Hockey for Belly Up Sports. So I've covered him on a national level, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see 88 there in Broadway. And obviously the whole Showtime nickname is perfect. Showtime on Broadway is perfect. But, you know, the first two games weren't perfect. I think, you know, a lot of people thought him and Panarin would kind of just pick back up again where they were 7 years ago. But, you know, he's getting time to gel with this team. We said Tarasenko, you know, after the first goal, you know, the first game goal in the first, what, 2-7 minutes, 5 minutes of the game, you know, he struggled for a couple games. And now he's finally picking up, had a huge game against Philly last week. I thought he was really good against Boston. So, I mean, he's really finding his groove now. He said it himself. He's feeling more comfortable in the lineup. And, you know, it takes guys a while. And Patrick Kane, I think Chris Kreider said at the first game, like, you know, they had all these power plays. And Kane, obviously, is on the first unit. And they weren't connecting on anything. And, you know, Kreider said, like, we're going to need a couple of practices here before we start really figuring out, like, what's going on with this power play and where players are. And, to me, I look to this Thursday game. You know, now you have basically 4 days of practice or 3 days of practice that they had yesterday off, but you have 3 days of practice leading into this game where these guys can now get to know each other and kind of have Kane settle in, learn the systems. And Gallant said, like, he's basically told him, go out there and play in that first game. Like, don't worry about anything. Just go play. And I think now he's going to kind of get, you know, a week into the city. You know, obviously he's moving in, you know, his, I think he's got a 2-year-old, whatever, Patrick the Third. So he's moving a family over here. Tarasenko, same thing, moved his family over. It's an adjustment for everybody. So I think Thursday is a day for me. I kind of throw these first two games of the Kane tenure away. They should have won against Ottawa, let that game get away in the third period. But this team, they've been playing man down. I mean, they're playing, what, 4 or 5 defensemen. You know, they're playing 11 skaters on, you know, 11 forwards every night. Tyler Mott gets hurt again. Kind of deja vu. You know, Rangers acquire him, plays well, and all of a sudden, a couple games into his tenure of his time, he gets hurt on a dirty hit, same as what happened last year in Pittsburgh against Pittsburgh. So hopefully he comes back soon. It's an upper body. His head hit the glass pretty hard. I have to think it's maybe a concussion, maybe a shoulder injury from where he got hit, but I don't know how long he'll be out for. They're saying, you know, they just said he's out for now. But the Rangers can recall someone on Thursday for him, since they did play a man down against Boston, so they can have an emergency call-up. Most likely, it's going to be Will Cooley. I think he's right under that $850K allowance that they'll have, so Will Cooley might be the guy. Maybe be Johnny Brodzinski. He's below that as well. Both those guys have seen time in New York in this season. They also had Blindahl. They just picked him up from Colorado in a trade for right off Gustav Rydahl, and he's another guy who falls on that category under $850K. So they have some options down there in Hartford for who to call up for an emergency call up, and they will be granted that this time. They were not granted it last week because the NHL said that they created the issue because they held out for Kane. But this time, obviously, it's a different case. It happened after Kane was there. So they'll be getting a emergency call up if Tyler Mott cannot go. Keandre Miller is returning, so they'll have a full 21-man roster or so, whatever that is, unless Ryan Lingren cannot go. So they'll have a full 12 forward, 6 defensemen ready to go finally Thursday against Montreal. But that, to me, is when you really can see this team and what the team's going to take shape. And, you know, they have a couple of games here coming up where I think you look ahead, and this weekend you have in Buffalo, a Buffalo Sabres team which is putting together a very good season. You know, they're fighting for a playoff spot, so that's going to be a tough game. And then you play the Pittsburgh Penguins three times in 4 games. So Sunday night you play in Pittsburgh, then you come home for the Caps next Tuesday night, which will be on ESPN and Disney. Pretty cool. My 3-year-old and I will be watching that on the Disney cast to see what that's all about. And then you play Pittsburgh back-to-back on Thursday and then next Saturday. And then another back-to-back in against the Preds on Sunday. So tough schedule coming up after a little bit of a lull here. But you play Pittsburgh a ton. So that's a team that, you know, they're 8 points behind you. That's a, you know, you have to start winning some of these games because I know the Rangers are kind of stuck now in this 3-seed. New Jersey and Carolina are starting to pull away from them both. Carolina is 11 points up on them, and New Jersey's up 9 points on them in the standings. So you're not going to reach one of those two teams, but you're set in that third spot. You don't want to drop any further from that because Pittsburgh right now is 8 points behind you, but they got a game in hand. The Islanders are 7 points behind you, although you have 2 games in hand against the Islanders. But the Islanders have been really good lately, 5-2-3. Pittsburgh's been 5-5, but still, they're hanging on right behind you because the Rangers are only 4-5-1 the last 10 games. So Rangers got to get things going here. They got to get these guys, you know, acclimated to the lineup and start winning some games. And you got to start winning games against teams you should beat. And I know Ottawa's red hot, but, you know, that's a team you should have beat at home. You got to beat Montreal even though you're in the road here. You know, that's a team that's obviously really struggling. You have to take advantage of that. And, you know, you got to, you know, Pittsburgh's a tough place, but you got to start winning some more home games for these Rangers. So, yeah, Igor Shesterkin's play is still a little bit concerning. I think, you know, Halak played very well against Ottawa, led a couple goals there in the third period. I think he'd probably want back. But Igor, I thought, played well against Boston, and the Boston has kind of took the game over from them. And, you know, the third period was another third period where the Rangers, you know, came into it down 2-1, and they just let it slip away. And, you know, the Bergeron goal there to make it 3-1, pretty, you know, that ended it. It was 2-1 there for a little bit. The Rangers had a couple chances, and once they got 3-1, you know, that game was over. But, you know, the Rangers right now, you got to beat the Canadiens coming up. You know, the Sabres are a team you should beat, even though it's on the road. You know, it's a team you should beat because the next game, it's a back-to-back in Pittsburgh. So that's going to be a tough back-to-back there. And then you play the Caps, a team who, you know, at home, you got to beat the Caps at home. It's a team that you don't know what the hell they're doing. They're either rebuilding or they're not rebuilding. Not really sure what the trade deadline was. But, you know, it's a team you should beat at home after they kind of beat you up there in D.C. last week. So the Rangers need to get some payback there. And then you get the Preds, a team who also who sold at the deadline that you should beat next week at home too. So, because after that, you got back-to-back with Carolina towards the end of the month. And then you got the Florida Panthers, and then you got the Blue Jackets, a team you should beat at home. And then Devils matchup, and that Thursday, the 30th, it's going to be huge. It's going to be a great game. And we'll see. Maybe that's a preview for a playoff game, or maybe the Devils by then catch up to the Carolina Hurricanes, who have been, you know, leading this division pretty much all season long. And I guess the Devils were up earlier when they had that huge run to start the season. But Carolina's been really dominating this division. And New Jersey right now is really turning it on. They're really good and obviously picking up. Timo Meier is a huge pickup for them. And he scored in his first game with the Devils. But, you know, New Jersey got better. Carolina added Ghost Bear, who obviously is a very good power play player for them. And I think he's already had a couple points on the two in his first couple games. So everyone got better. Pittsburgh made a bunch of moves at the deadline. So this division is just stacked. The division is stacked. The East is stacked. It's ridiculous. But the Rangers right now are kind of in the driver's seat, obviously, for that third spot. They need to hold on to that 3-seed. And, you know, it's going to, you know, see who falls on our lap. Either it's going to be a Battle of the Hudson or a rematch against Carolina, a team that is definitely going to want some redemption after last year getting knocked out in Game 7 against the Rangers. So they'll have a tough first-round series no matter what. The whole playoffs can be ridiculously tough. But hopefully Patrick Kane and the additions of Tarasenko will push them over the top, two guys who are not only unbelievable players in regular season, but also big-time playoff performers. So we have a great guest this week, though. We're joined by New York Rangers 2022 fourth-round draft pick Noah Labba, who is having a great freshman season at Colorado College. He also was on the Team USA U-20 World Junior team, which won a bronze medal this last January. But a guy who had a, you know, good USHL career, You know, some guys, you know, a lot of people said that maybe he's a reach for in the fourth round this year, but he's having an excellent rookie freshman season there at Colorado College, and should find himself on a couple all-freshman teams here towards the end of this year. But I sat down with him to talk about his first year in college, kind of, you know, get to know him a little bit, what his likes and dislikes are, talk about that draft day, crazy draft day story where he was, and then also about the prospect camp here in New York and how cool that was for him. So it was great to sit down with him. But before we send to an interview with Noah, I do want to tell you about our sponsor of InTheClutch.com. Listen, hockey season is in full swing. Playoffs are coming up. NBA, the Knicks are red hot. 9 in a row now for the Knicks. They're really pushing for the NBA for the playoffs now. MLB just watched the Yankees the other day on spring training. Spring training's back on. NFL, I mean, now you got the draft coming up, so make sure you go on InTheClutch.com. Use our code BROADWAY to save 10% off today on any gear. So make sure you go gear up for your favorite team, and make sure you go use that code BROADWAY for 10% off today only at InTheClutch.com. All right, we're now joined by a very special guest, a 2022 New York Rangers draft pick. He's having a great year at Colorado College this year. Noah Labba, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, first off, let's go way back to your childhood. Who was your team growing up? Who's your favorite player?
Ooh, I think I like Datsyuk, watching him growing up, living in Michigan, being a Detroit fan. He's definitely a pretty exciting player to watch.
Yeah, not a bad guy to emulate your game off of, right?
Yeah, hard guy to emulate your game off of, but definitely a fun player to watch.
Who's the guy now? Is there any guys now that you watch in the league?
I mean, obviously, like the McDavids and the Matthews, always fun to watch. I think Jack Hughes is a fun player to watch as well.
Yeah, not against the Rangers, though. He is a fun player.
That's true.
I think last year in the draft, the big video that was going around about you was your game-winning overtime goal at the Whippy Silver Stick, which is a huge tournament for midget hockey. And you guys beat the Don Mills team, which was still talked about now because anytime Shane Wright comes into conversation, mm-hmm. they bring that team up. And Brent Hoffman was there as well. So how special scoring that goal?
Yeah, that was cool. I believe they were undefeated before that game. And then obviously it was a pretty special game. You know, a lot of people there rooting against us. just to score that overtime goal was pretty cool. And obviously they were a great team, and a lot of those players are playing pro hockey. But yeah, definitely a special moment.
Now was Hoffman at the rookie camp with you this last year?
Yeah, he was.
Did you remind him of that goal, or did he remind you of that goal at all?
No, not too much.
He probably just took a number, you know, he's like, oh yeah.
For sure.
Definitely in the back of his mind still. You went out, you played 2 years in the USHL with the Lincoln Stars. So what was that experience like playing out in Lincoln?
It was good. Lincoln's an awesome town. And I think the Stars are a great organization. And just kind of the fan base they get is pretty special. You know, you walk around anywhere there and, you know, you'll be recognized. It's kind of cool. But no, definitely really, really enjoyed my time there in Lincoln.
Did you hit up any Cornhusker football games or anything?
Yeah, I actually went to one Cornhusker game. It's crazy. They sell out every game, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's like one of the places. That's a bucket list place for, I think, for a lot of like college football fans, that place. And, you know, maybe not the best of years for them recently, but the fans are ridiculous out there.
Yeah. Yeah, they pack the building there. So.
And your last year, they get 115 penalty minutes. And obviously when the Rangers drafted you, I guess the scouting report on you was a tough player, gritty player. To rack up 115 PIMs, that's pretty impressive in the USHL. So I guess that year, like, what did you take a step forward physically? Like, was there a plan coming to the season for you to do that?
No, I don't think so, necessarily a plan. I don't know, just kind of how some plays happened. And obviously, there wasn't too much of a plan to rack up 115 penalty minutes, but sometimes that's how it goes. So
we never know in a draft year, you know, maybe some guys like, oh, I want to get some of my penalty minutes up or whatever it was. And obviously that was noticed by I saw one of your, again, when the Rangers drafted you, obviously looked you up and saw a video of one of your fights when you had a nice cross check to a guy. And then, you know, another guy came after and then you beat him up. So it was a nice little little 20 second time for you there on the ice.
Yeah, I think I remember that was preseason game my rookie year. So just trying to establish myself a bit in the league, and those are always fun.
Yeah, I would say that's a good welcome, you know, a good introduction to the league for you.
For sure.
So last summer, the Rangers drafted you 111th overall in the fourth round. What was your expectation coming into the draft?
Honestly, like, I had no idea. Like, I was up in the air. Like, I could either go or not go. So I wasn't too set on what was going to happen. But obviously, I was pretty happy with the results. But
now, did you have any contact with the team before the draft? Or did you interview with them at all?
Yeah, I had an in-person interview and multiple phone calls with them.
So who did you interview in person with?
Larry.
Okay.
Larry Bernard, I think.
Now, what's the nerve-wracking? Like, how nerve-wracking is that? I mean, that's like it's a job interview for everyone else in the world, but that's an NHL opportunity job interview.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I wasn't too nervous. I'm pretty confident who I am and the player I am, and pretty confident I can answer whatever question you can throw at me. And obviously, they're really cool guys and nice guys, so they're not trying to get you too much.
So what was the celebration like after the draft pick?
I was actually in class.
You were in class when you got drafted?
Yeah, we had to do a summer course here at Colorado College. So I was in class watching the draft and got the phone call and just left. I didn't come back and then kind of just made all the important calls to family and friends and kind of everybody who's helped me.
Little long bathroom trip there, come back and tell the teacher later on, like, hey, listen, I just got drafted. I'll be back in 45 minutes.
Yeah, it was crazy, but it was good.
So rookie development camp, you go out to New York. Have you been out to New York before?
I've been out, not like the city or like not where that's at. I've been to like a suburb in New York, kind of, I don't know what they call it out there, but definitely not near the city.
So what was your first impression of New York City?
It was sick. It was crazy. Like, just going downtown and seeing the Garden was just a crazy experience. And obviously, it's always busy down there, like, always something going on. So, no, I loved it down there.
And then the camp itself, I guess, you know, Ranger fans look forward to every year because you get to see the young guys out in the ice. But what was that experience like for you putting on, like, it's not the Rangers jersey, but I mean, still everything's Rangers. You're in the locker room there. Like, how cool was that in the NHL facility?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty surreal, obviously. That's kind of getting your first taste of pro hockey and kind of getting adjusted to the organization and just the tools they have set in place. And the people that run it are all unreal, and they want you to be at your best, and they kind of give you every opportunity to do so.
Were there any guys that stood out to you? Any guys that you're like, oh, wow, that guy's pretty good?
Yeah, definitely Othman. Cooley, I think.
Will Cooley. Yeah, he just got called up. Yep.
Yeah, he was really good. Couple D-men that I Skinner. I know he's traded now, but he was good. And definitely a lot of others that I'm forgetting. But
now, what's the speed like in a camp like that? Obviously, everyone's trying to impress, so they're going 110%. Like, is it just crazy? Like, the speed of everything, like the drills and everything, crazy.
Yeah, definitely pretty intense and high pace, and everybody wants to kind of show their skills off and work hard and show what they can do. So it's definitely high pace.
And then, so actually, I got to ask you a question. So when you were drafted, there was Colgate was out there as you were going to school there, and you were going to Colorado College. What was the deal with that?
With Colgate?
Yeah.
Yeah, I committed there my first year in Lincoln, and kind of just wasn't the right fit. Didn't work out there. And then that's kind of when I switched over to CC, and happy I did. So,
yeah, I remember like seeing on Twitter and Colorado College came out with like congratulations to Noah. I'm like, oh, everyone's saying he's going to Colgate. They're going out and saying congratulations because he's not.
Yeah, it was definitely kind of last minute, but.
And you had a great start to your year this year, your freshman year there. Your first weekend, you scored 2 goals and have an assist and get named the NCHC Rookie of the Week. I mean, can't draw up a better start to a college career.
Yeah, it was definitely exciting to have that type of start. Kind of boost the confidence a bit and kind of get the confidence that you can play in the league and getting comfortable and settled in. So it was good.
And that great start led to you getting invited to Team USA World Junior Camp. So what was that experience like?
That was unreal. Like, obviously playing for your country is something you grow up dreaming about. So just to be able to put on the jersey and get to be there with all those guys and all the high level talented guys was really cool.
And how competitive, I mean, obviously you guys are trying to make this illustrious team. How competitive is that camp? Like, how intense is that?
Yeah, super intense. Like, I just got, you know, you don't want to make many mistakes. You kind of want to fit whatever role that they see for you and do the best you can with that. So it's definitely very, very intense.
And when you get told you made that team, what was the celebration like for that?
That was pretty special, obviously. The camp's in Michigan, pretty close to my house, too. So that was nice to be able to go back and kind of celebrate with family a bit and kind of be home while you're at camp.
That's pretty cool. And obviously, the World Junior Tournament, it's awesome every year. Yeah, I love watching it. Unfortunately, you guys didn't win it this year. You win the bronze. You could be playing the bronze medal game. But, man, 8-7 overtime win there. And it was a very exciting game in general.
Yeah, there wasn't too much defense, I feel like, being played in that game, but definitely exciting game, and goals are never bad, so it was good.
And, you know, pretty cool, though, to wear your team, you know, your jersey and have the national anthem play behind you as you wear a bronze medal on your neck.
Yeah, for sure. No, that was definitely very, very good moment.
So you're having a great year. You're second on the team in scoring this year. What's been your major adjustment to college hockey so far?
I think just continuing to develop my game. Obviously, it's faster. The guys are older. They play harder. But just kind of continuing my development and knowing, like, where my path is and how far I have to go and how much more developing that I believe I have, which is pretty exciting for me. But that's kind of what my summer was leading before my freshman year here.
And have the Rangers kind of given you, you know, insight into what they want to see from you, or where do they want you to grow your game?
Yeah, obviously, they watch every game, and they've been through a lot, and just getting stronger and bigger. You know, whether that be in the weight room or on the ice, so definitely focus there for the summer.
And then Luke Hughes, obviously, is one of the regarded as the best defenseman in the NCAA. You were just playing with him on Team USA. Devils unfortunately drafted him, so I think Ranger fans are going to see him for a long time now. How special is that kid?
Yeah, he's unreal. Obviously, special character kid, super good kid, and obviously on the ice, you know, he can skate and handle the puck. He can shoot. He can kind of do it all. So definitely a special kid to watch, and was pretty happy sharing the ice with him.
Yeah, every time I watch the highlights of him, I'm like, oh, man, he's going to be in New Jersey soon. He's going to be a big problem for the Rangers down the line here.
Yeah, he's a really good player.
if you were to give it, so if someone never saw your game before, they were going to give your own scouting report on your style of play, what would you tell someone?
I think I'm a hard 200-foot center. I can play both sides of the ice, whether it be locking it down defensively, playing the PK, or getting a goal when it's needed, or finishing around the net.
And are you in the first power play now? I saw the other day that you're on the first power play now, right?
Yeah.
We gotta get those power play goals up. Get in front of the net, get some Chris Kreider style. Use that big frame and get some deflections in there.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
All right. A couple of more questions here before I let you go. What's your favorite thing to do outside the ice?
Ooh, like, in the summer, I like being on the water. So that's probably the main thing. But other than that, pretty busy at school, video games here and there, but not too much.
What's your favorite video game?
Fortnite, COD, NHL, probably top three.
You're going to be getting in the game pretty soon. So that'll be pretty cool.
Hopefully. Working towards that.
What's your favorite vacation spot?
Ooh, definitely up northern Michigan, on Lake Charlevoix. It kind of connects to the Great Lake there, but it's a pretty special place to me, and kind of grew up going there and being on the water there.
Favorite movie?
Ooh, I like Training Day.
Okay, nice. That's a good one. It's always a good one.
Yeah, I love that one.
Are you a golfer?
Like, in and out. Okay. Like I golf when I can. Wouldn't say I'm a huge golfer. Wouldn't say I'm very good, but
because Michigan's got some good golf courses there. So
yeah, no, for sure. But I don't play too much, but I play.
What's your what are you studying around school?
It's kind of a liberal arts college, so you kind of got to take classes and everything. But I'll probably end up doing business, majoring in business,
major in hockey, whatever.
Pretty much, yeah.
Let's see here. What's your favorite shootout move?
Ooh, like from myself or like,
yeah, that? Either way, who's your favorite guy to watch in a shootout? And what's your favorite move to do?
I think Zegras right now is my favorite guy to watch in the shootout. He just makes it look so easy. Favorite move, I like the kind of come down on the right side, fake forehand back in, and then cut back. That one I like to practice that one. I want to see if I can get it done in a real game. But
did you see Zegras practicing the other day, like the like alley oop to himself in front of the net? Do you see that?
The through the legs?
Yeah, like the through the legs. And the,
yeah, just crazy. Yeah. Just now, crazy good.
Are you guys practicing the Michigan at all practice? Are we going to see that broken out soon or what?
I don't know. Some of the guys do here and there. I don't know if I can pull that off, but I don't know if I'd try either. But
who's your dream goalie to score on?
Ooh. That's a tough one. I don't know. I'd say any Detroit goalie because I think that would just be pretty cool.
Okay, that's good. Let's see here. Who's your favorite Ranger to watch?
Panarin. I think Panarin. He's just unreal with the puck. And obviously when he gets it, he's always dangerous. So he's a fun player to watch.
All right, last question for you. Now, do you watch the Rangers at all? You keep track with the Rangers at all?
Yeah, when I can.
So obviously they're going to the playoffs now and playoff mm-hmm. hockey and everything. Is there any guy on the team you want to like maybe style your game off of? Is there anyone you compare yourself to?
What 72? What's his?
Hedl?
Yeah. I think his game is really good, and I know he started right kind of as like more a fourth line guy, and then
he's really taken off this year. So he's playing. He's on a third line centerman now.
Yeah, and I really like his game.
Sniper.
Yeah, he's fast. He shoots hard. He's big. So no, I really, really liking his game a lot.
Well, Noah, thanks so much for joining us. The Rangers obviously have this great youth movement coming through. They've rebuilt this team into a playoff contender, hopefully Stanley Cup contender, and picked up Tarasenko last week. So they're on their way, and the kid line obviously is getting older. So guys like yourself need to come in and make this team even younger in the future.
Hopefully, yes, hopefully.
Well, good luck the rest of the year, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much to Noah for joining us. What a great kid. It was great to sit down and talk with him, and he's having a great season. He scored some highlight reel goals, and he's got some sandpaper to his game, got a couple fights there in the USHL. Nice big centerman, which the Rangers need. You know, obviously, centerman's been an issue for his team for a long time, and if they could find a guy in the fourth round, I mean, that's a huge steal. And he's got 3 more years of college after this, you know, for him, so he doesn't need to develop right away, but obviously he's on the right path. And like I said earlier, he should be on a couple all-freshman teams based off his performance this year. He's been, you know, one of the best players for Colorado College all season long, putting up goals, and obviously missed some time there away at the World Juniors, which they really missed him during that time. But he's come back and played really well, had a really great start to the season. His first weekend in college hockey, he was named, the all-freshman conference performer of the weekend. So what a great way to start your college career. So I can't thank him enough for coming on. And hopefully we'll stay in touch with him and get him back on further on in his career. And we want to wish him all the best there after his first season. And I'm sure he'll be at prospect camp again this summer. So we'll be keeping an eye on him there. So thanks so much to Noah for joining us. And that does it for episode 122 of the Broadway Hat Podcast. Please make sure you go and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. You can leave us a 5-star review there. Every 5-star review that is left, $1 is donated to Alex's Lemonade Foundation. So please take a moment out of your day. Go on there, leave us a 5-star review, and help an amazing cause fight pediatric cancer. Make sure you go and find us on Spotify and subscribe to the show there and leave us a 5-star review as well. You can find the show on Google Play, Pandora, Amazon Music, Spreaker, anywhere you get your podcast, you can find us there. Also, make sure you're following the show on all social media. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at The Broadway Hat Podcast. You can find us on Twitter. I'm sorry, on Instagram and Facebook at The Broadway Hat Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Broadway Hat Pod. You can find my personal Twitter account at KHullNY for all new Granger updates. Also, make sure you go and find us on YouTube at The Broadway Hat Podcast. Go subscribe to the channel there. We post all of our episodes, full episodes. We post clips of our episodes, highlights of our guys we've had on. So very cool content. We're always dropping on our new YouTube page, so make sure you go check that out there. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.